This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, and Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Pinky Lilani. PBEDL is a food guru, author, motivational speaker, and internationally acclaimed champion for women. She works in the differing areas of food and the empowerment of women, bringing them together at every opportunity. She's the force behind the annual Women of the Future Awards, the Asian Women of Achievement Awards, the Ambassadors Program, the Inspirational Women's Network, the Women of the Future Summit, and the Global Empowerment Award. She's also a patron of several charities and was named as one of the 100 most entrepreneurial women in the UK, as well as being on the 30 most powerful Muslim women's list. A real pleasure to be speaking to you, Pinky. Could you share with us your story and your journey towards where you are today?
Oh, well, it's a great pleasure to speak to you. I'm so excited to be on. And I came to England 38 years ago when I met my husband in India and married him in 3 weeks. And I came here not knowing how to cook and not knowing anyone, very different to the life I had in India. But it's been an amazing journey. I had my two children quite quickly and didn't really work. It was only like when they were about 10 or 12 years old that by then I'd learned how to cook. And because I love having people over to the house very much from my Indian heritage, where all the time the doors were open and people came and you had to give them food to eat, just couldn't give them a cup of tea. And so I learned to cook and had started having people. And then somebody said, you really cook well. Can you teach Indian cookery to adults in adult education schools? And I said, I'd love to. So I would go in for 2 hours and teach people how to cook. I didn't know much, but I had a lot of enthusiasm and energy, and actually really enjoyed the experience, and then wrote a book. Again, I had no idea how you write a book. I didn't get a publisher. I just published myself, and then all these thousands of books came, and nobody would buy them, really. The shops had never heard of me, except my, 100 people that I knew. And then I started saying, I have to be creative. So I rang up a shop and said, if I bring my electric wok and make spicy Bombay potatoes from my book in the shop, will you let me sell my book? And I think they felt sorry for me, so they said, yes, fine. And so I took along my wok and all the garlic and coriander and started cooking in shops in 5 minutes, and people could taste the food, and they started buying the book. So it became great fun traveling around England with my wok and my books and selling them. And then I really came across a lot of amazing women who I felt, lacked self-belief, needed to be, helped to go into higher levels. And so I decided to set up the Asian Women of Achievement Awards, because Asian women were seen very much in the background. And yes, they were doing some phenomenal things. And we were very lucky. In the first year I started the award, Sherry Blair had just come in as the Prime Minister's wife, and I actually asked if she would attend our event. And she actually came to our event, and she really liked it and became our patron. And that helped us to really get a much higher profile, because at that time she was very much in the news, and we started discovering amazing women who were doing phenomenal things, from a young girl who discovered a non-drip teapot, things that you didn't expect Asian women to be doing, to structural engineers. And that was very exciting. That wasn't enough for me, so I decided to set up the Women of the Future Awards, which is for women of all backgrounds. But they have to be under 35, because I felt women who were young, if we really acknowledged them at that age, they could leverage that for many, many more years. And it was not just about giving people who everyone knew. So they were fresh, lovely new faces that were coming in. And those awards have really grown. And, as you know, we've launched the brand in Kuala Lumpur when we were there.
Yes.
And then the network followed, and the school program. And, all the other things that come out of doing something where you see the real value. So that's been my journey.
All right. I do want to talk a little bit more about the Women of the Future program, but a little bit about spice magic before we get there, and what is it about the spice magic and the spice magic experience?
Well, what I decided, when I started teaching cookery, I had a couple of clients who were the big supermarkets, and they wanted, the big supermarkets wanted to know how to make authentic Indian food. So their teams would come here, and I would teach them how to make authentic sources, because, you know, there was a lot of food that wasn't really authentically Indian. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed getting people into my kitchen. There's a wonderful experience of getting people, whatever their level are, into your kitchen. They're all equal there, and I make them chop onions and do everything. And we cook together. And I found that was so exciting that I started offering them to corporate as leadership team-building days. So some of the really big corporates, the well-known names, have come to my kitchen and brought teams along. It could be from a board level to people fairly junior who spend the whole day talking about themselves, discovering what their mantras are, what they stand for, and cooking together. And I think cooking is such a great way of sharing experience. So that has really taken off. But also, I actually take my walk and go into big companies now. So I go in and talk to all kinds of people. I went into a housing company who actually sell, you know, very well known here, and they had 300 of their house valuers come to hear me. They were all in their 30s, and they were thinking, what is this woman going to talk about that we're going to learn? And at the end of it, you know, with my walk, talking about life and success and how do you be yourself and still fly, the importance of dreams, just amalgamating all together, and it's very, very exciting.
Right. And what would you say would be your leadership style?
I would think I'm very collaborative. I like to hear what others have to say. I'm very decisive, and so I kind of know what I'd like, but I think I take everybody on board with me. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me to do that in a way because I have a very small team. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, obviously if I had a very big team, it would be different. But I really like other people to hear what they have to say, but also to, if there are things they don't agree with, to actually talk about it. I'm not confrontational. I find confrontation very difficult.
You know, so it's very interesting how you use food with the Spice Magic experience and brought that into, you know, boardrooms and companies as well. Now, you gave a talk, I think it was TEDx or TED itself, and you talked about coriander. What is it about coriander?
I love coriander. I think all of us in our little repertoire of spices have a favorite one. And for me, when I was growing up in India, freshly chopped coriander made all the difference to the dish. And I kind of, when I wrote a book, I called it Coriander Makes the Difference. And for me, in my life, when people come in, there's some people who are very special who make a difference. And I call them the coriander in my life. So whenever a dish isn't tasting as good as it should, if you put some freshly chopped coriander, I think it transforms the dish. Mm-hmm. But sadly, there are some people, and I can't believe this, who actually don't like coriander. And so they kind of tell me almost apologetically, you know, I'm so sorry, but I don't like coriander. And, you know, I think that's fine too. But I think, you know, it is one of my favorite herbs.
Right. And, you know, when you look at having worked with a lot of companies and women in general, what are your insights on how women can aspire much higher to inspire others?
You know, the first thing is for women to believe in themselves. And I think where we have a little bit of a gray area is, you know, they lack self-confidence and self-belief. And I think when they really can see what they can do and they can add value, then they really fly. So they need a lot of role models. They need, a lot of them need mentors. They need champions. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize the difference between a mentor and a champion. A mentor will give you advice. You can talk to them. But a champion will actually open doors. And I think that's what we need to do with women, is we really need them to believe that they can add value. Because when you give them that tool and give them that belief, they can actually go much further. So I think, you know, we're really working on that whole equation of self-belief and confidence.
Right. Well, I want to hear more about the Women of the Future program, how it started and, you know, how it's expanded beyond, you know, the shores of the UK. I'm here with Pinky Lilani, founder and chairperson of Women of the Future program. You're listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Building First World Mindsets, BFM 89.9.
This is Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good afternoon, I'm Frida Liu, and Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Pinky Lilani, founder and chairperson of Women of the Future program, founder and chairperson of the Asian Women of Achievement Awards, and CEO of Spice Magic Limited out in the UK. So Pinky, you know this Women of the Future program. What was the genesis, and you know, how did it go beyond the shores of the UK?
Well, I think, you know, we started it in the UK and it's grown. We grew from having 7 or 8 categories of awards to 14 categories because 2 years ago I met someone who was head of the construction industry, actually the head of the Royal Institute of Construction, you know, and Chartered Surveyors. And he said, we don't have enough women in construction and property. And often you don't have people because there aren't enough role models or people who are visible. So we've added categories, we've added sport, and it's become hugely successful. We're very lucky this year, Her Royal Highness, the Countess of Wessex, became our global ambassador because she saw the value and believes in the importance of encouraging young women. So I set it up because I felt these young women, they need it when they're young to be able to leverage it, to meet other people. Because I think when you're young and you work in your own organization, you have access to other women who are also successful. So our network was very, very important. And because it's really grown, and I could see everywhere I went in the world, there was a real need to acknowledge women and to hear new stories. And so I was very keen that we actually take the model elsewhere. And so it was very exciting when we came to Malaysia and we said we will actually launch the brand there. And there's been a wonderful reaction. So many people are interested because I think more than anything else, we need globalization and networks are so important. So I'm hoping women in Malaysia or in India or whatever, if they want to connect with people who are really role models anywhere in the world, we can be the catalyst and the way to do it. So it's very exciting for me.
Okay. And when was it first started? And, you know, how many countries is it in now?
Well, it was started in 2006 in the UK, and at present, the only country we did kind of have a soft launch in India, but really just now we've really just launched it in Southeast Asia, where we had it in Kuala Lumpur. But I think we're hoping that in 2018 we'll have an event which will encompass Southeast Asia, probably Malaysia, Indonesia, and Singapore together to acknowledge these women. So I think you know there's a real value to bringing young people into the conversation, because the conversation is very different to those who are older. And I think there's such hope for the future, but also, you know, when you have these young people meeting more senior people, there's a wonderful exchange of ideas on both sides, and we both learn so much. I mean, the energy of some of the young people in there, you know, really helped someone like me. So I've now gone on to Twitter and Instagram. I haven't got on to Snapchat. But I'm actually, and somebody looks at me on the train and says, you're on Twitter? Like, what's this middle-aged woman doing on Twitter? And so I think that's really, I've learned from some of these people. And, you know, I think it's really going to grow enormously.
Right. And I think if you've met all these women around the world, do you see common challenges that we, you know, that we face here in Malaysia as we would in the UK?
Yes, I do, definitely. So much of commonality. I mean, the whole thing of them wanting to achieve, but wanting work-life balance. They want to connect. They, you know, we've brought this whole thing, the mantra and the DNA of all our programs is about kindness and collaboration. I'd just like to, for a minute, dwell on that because that's what drives me and that's what helps us grow. I think, you know, it gives people power because anybody can be kind. You know, everybody can't have a PhD, they can't write a check for whatever, but they can all be kind. And by being kind, it empowers you, really gives you a sense of feeling powerful because you can be kind. And most people, we found in the world over, most people, there's a huge sense of reciprocity. So people really want to pay you back. So kindness is a great business tool too, because when you're kind to people, they want to do business with people who, you know, who share their values, who have integrity. And so for me, that's become the central focus of our attention. And I think all these women around the world that I'm meeting, they all have the same fears. You know, they all want to do well, but Some of them lack self-belief. They don't know how to reach out to certain people and their skills that they need that are global. So I find, you know, I came to Malaysia and, you know, all of them touched my heart because all of them wanted to be helped, wanted to be part of a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's what binds us together.
Right. You know, when you look at, you know, you've got your Asian Women of Achievement Awards as well. Do you find that, you know, that something like that is necessary? And having been in the UK for close to 40 years, what are some developments that you've seen, you know, wherever you may be when it comes to Asian women?
I think what I've seen is they've branched out into newer fields. So we're seeing more of them coming into fields they weren't in before, for example, in science, technology, and engineering, where we didn't have many of them. Normally, Asian women were encouraged either to become accountants or lawyers or, you know, do something more central focus. So this has been really nice. I also find that, you know, they still have one of the problems facing some Asian women in the UK is, you know, the family problems in the sense that a lot of their in-laws don't like them working and can hold them back.
Yeah.
And that's still a problem. In fact, I was patron of the Asian Women's Resource Center. And the biggest problem facing Asian women from the subcontinent, you know, from India and Pakistan, were their mother-in-laws, which seems really weird in this time, but it is still a huge focus. So, you know, those are some of the issues we're looking at.
Okay, and I guess, you know, regardless of gender, what are some words of advice for every individual working towards a groundbreaking career and achieving their goals? I know you mentioned kindness. What other words of advice do you have?
I think, you know, dream big and never give up. It's about resilience and tenacity. And I think always look around, ask other people. I get my best ways of moving to the next, you know, step up from other people. So I think really taking on new ideas. And there's also another theory which I love, and it's actually going to different people. Like, it called it the strength of weak ties. And it was a person at Stanford who had this paper. And it's going to new people, not going to just the people you know. So expanding your network and going into new areas, because that's where the new ideas come. And I put together this, what I call the 7 Qs, because I think, you know, when you're looking to fly, you know, you want a checklist. And so the 7 Qs for me are things like, you know, obviously your IQ, your EQ, your MQ, which is the meaning quotient in your life, you know, your CQ is your communication quotient. But the most important for me is your LQ, and you may wonder what that is, and that's your likability quotient. And I think when people like you, when you engage with people, when you're present, that's where you can really make a difference and where people take you seriously. So I think, you know, the whole thing around getting your whole act together and looking at every aspect of your behavior is very important.
What still keeps you going, Pinky?
I think that, you know, meeting the people, like whenever I travel and I meet these amazing people with stories, and people say, when are you going to retire? And I hope I don't retire, because while there's something to do, you know, and I have a huge curiosity about people, so I love, wherever I go, I start talking to people on trains and buses and ask them questions about themselves. And, you know, you always, there is a need. Somebody always, there is always something to be done. And I think that's what keeps me going. I mean, I was so excited to bring this delegation to Malaysia earlier, and we were, everyone came back. It was a life-enhancing experience for all of us, because even, you know, those who've been doing a lot, who've achieved a lot, still learned a lot. And, you know, we met amazing people who inspired us. And I keep getting inspired. And while I'm inspired, I want to keep working. So I'm going to keep going. And I'm doing it for, I have a little granddaughter now. And you know, it's for people like her that I have to keep going.
Right. Thanks for being with us. And I hope to meet you again. I've been speaking to Pinky Lilani, founder and chairperson of Women of the Future Program, founder and chairperson of Asian Women of Achievement Awards, and CEO of Spice Magic Limited. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.